You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon, and I am the host of Locked On Wolves, and we are down to the last week of August, and that means that the dog days of the offseason are just about over. Then we're on to media day, training camp, preseason, all the good stuff that isn't really the good stuff, but at least gets us a little bit closer. It all comes pretty fast and furious in September. And hey, we're almost to September. I think mentally there's something about being the last week of August and football about to get going that tells us all that basketball is just around the corner. So we're getting there, even though admittedly we're still a little bit ways away. So today, we are going to talk a little bit about a few quick Wolves notes, the sort of things that we talk about in August when we're waiting for things to get rolling in the fall. So a few Wolves notes from the fantastic local media in the Twin Cities. We'll discuss a few of those tidbits that they're putting out there. And then we're going to talk extensively about Andrew Wiggins. And if it feels like we've spent an inordinate amount of time talking about Wiggins here at Locked On Wolves, well, you're not wrong, but I also bet that we're not the only podcast or blog that is spending a lot of time talking about Wiggins, as he does remain one of the hot button topics surrounding the Wolves. And really, until he's either traded or breaks out in a big way, that's not about to change. And there's, 122 million reasons still on the contract as to why that is. So we will spend a little bit of time on Wiggins today, try not to rehash any of the same complaints or arguments, but really kind of break down the biggest issues in his game and the biggest opportunities for improvement in the upcoming season. So first, I'm going to talk through a few notes here pretty quickly. One is Darren Wolfson, who, if you are from Minnesota or a Timberwolves fan, you probably heard of Darren Wolfson. He's the Channel 5 sports anchor in Minnesota, the ABC affiliate, and he also is a contributor at Score North, which is a relatively new and very, very good blog in the Twin Cities area. But Darren always is on top of many things local to the Twin Cities. He tweeted out over the weekend here that the Timberwolves have a number of players in the Bahamas bonding together this week/weekend, which may not seem all that unusual. And is it really newsworthy? Not really. But if you've been following the Timberwolves or are a longtime Timberwolves fan, you know that that's not something that typically happens for the Wolves and certainly hasn't happened in the last few years. Especially with Jimmy Butler on the squad a couple years ago or last year without much veteran leadership on the team outside of the Jeff Teagues and Taj Gibsons, who this doesn't really seem like something that is completely in their wheelhouse, but the team is down in the Bahamas getting ready. We don't have names of everybody that's there. Wolfson mentioned in a reply tweet to somebody else that Carl Anthony Towns and Jarrett Culver are definitely there, as well as a few others. So who knows? That feels like the sort of thing that'll come out in one of those feel-good training camp stories. So we may get a few more details, but at any rate, positive that the guys are actually doing things like that. Also notable that the team isn't going overboard to try and make everybody aware that this is happening, at least not yet. So it's definitely not only for show. It seems like there's also the guys are really trying to bond and try and get off on the right foot this year, which is extremely positive and a great sign for sure. Another note, this actually, Darren Wolfson's Twitter feed from earlier in the week does have some good video of some interviews that they did with Gerson Rosas, the Timberwolves president of basketball operations. But some of the sound is available in a few different places. But Rosas does say that the Timberwolves would consider adding another contract, admits that the even though the team has, I think it is the full 15 contracts, at least partially guaranteed. I think Tyrone Wallace is the only one that's partially guaranteed that becomes that way here shortly, that they would consider adding another contract and then, you know, essentially biting the bullet there and paying for a guy who wouldn't be on the team if they end up, unless they end up being able to trade somebody, but if they waive somebody and eat a contract, then it's going to cost them money. But it certainly sounds like Rosas is willing to do that, which means that Glenn Taylor and ownership has given him that the ability to do such a thing, which is interesting. Rosas cites competition and the culture that he's trying to build, which is definitely something we've heard from him. But if they were to do something like that, that would be extremely encouraging and would go a long way to proving that he means business when he's talking about changing the culture, as well as a number of the other things that have happened. You know, the Bahamas trip, it would be one of those things, which even if it's led by players, it's a good indication that the culture is indeed changing around the team. So, you know, if they add another guy, it's likely, you know, we've talked at length about the Timberwolves wing depth. You don't need that much more in the way of depth in the front court with Karl-Anthony Towns and then a couple of the signings with Jordan Bell, Noah Vonleh, Gorgui Dieng still under contract, Naz Reid getting a guaranteed contract. You don't really need any more big men on the team. So it's surely a point guard. There's only two point guards on guaranteed contracts, true point guards, that is. Tyrone Wallace being kind of more of a combo guard, but you're talking about Jeff Teague and Shabazz Napier, both veterans in the last year of their deal. So clearly the Timberwolves should be open to exploring options. They could use a third point guard. Jordan McLaughlin's going to be on a two-way contract, so can only spend a certain amount of time in the NBA next year anyways, unless the Wolves were to promote him to a fully guaranteed contract at some point, which at this point seems unlikely. So there's a few names out there that could be of interest. Veterans like Jeremy Lin, for instance, who you know, was played on a couple different teams last year, finished the year out with Toronto, but had a little bit of a concerning year in terms of shooting the ball from distance. He's a career, you know, early in his career, a decent three-point shot was an important part of his game. He shot under 30% from three last year, had a severe injury. I think it was an Achilles tear 2 years ago with Brooklyn, played most of last year in Atlanta. He's now going to be in his age 31 season, but still a solid player and would be a great third point guard. One would think he could probably still go somewhere and be a regular backup, a second string point guard. But if he's still out there, that could be an option. To be clear, there's no real steam or anything directly connecting Lin to the Timberwolves. I guess the only stretch there would be Lin was obviously with the Rockets for a couple years when Rosas was in the Rockets front office. Now that's 6-7 years ago. But at any rate, there is a little bit of a connection there. And Lin still has not signed anywhere. The other would be Jerian Grant, who is he's just about to turn 27 years old. He's been with three teams in 4 years, played 60 games last year for the Magic, did shoot 36.4% from three last season, and would be another solid backup point guard option, a solid defender, decent offensive player. For a third point guard, you could do a lot worse. So those are maybe a couple of optimistic names, guys who are still probably holding out for a number two point guard position, a backup role where they're going to see more minutes, maybe waiting to see if there's any injuries in training camp and if they can catch on with the team as more of a regular backup role instead of as a third string guy. But those are a couple names that I would keep an eye out for and certainly wouldn't mind if the Wolves brought those guys in on a contract to compete in training camp. All right, before we take our first break, we do have to talk a little bit about football. The first regular season game is a week from this Thursday, so it is getting real. I am actually a Green Bay Packers fan, and they are partaking in the first game here a week from Thursday, so pretty excited about that. But as you get ready for football season, you know, it's important to be properly prepared for everything that comes with that. So as I said, the NFL season begins next week, which means that Crossover Wednesday will be back. For the entire regular NFL season, you'll get a special episode every Wednesday as the hosts from opposing sides meet up to preview the excitement of the games happening that week. Find your favorite team wherever you get your podcasts and be sure not to miss the NFL listeners' favorite segment here at the Locked On Network. All right, let's take a quick break. All right, let's talk a little bit more about Andrew Wiggins. I think diving into some of the numbers a little bit more and exactly what he needs to improve on are really important. It is a good way to go about this. The quick list of some of his issues, which have been mostly well documented, are his shot selection and overall decision making on the offensive end of the floor, primarily related to contested jumpers, contested mid-range jumpers, things of that nature. So we'll delve into that a little bit more. Also, his overall consistency on both ends of the floor is not good. And I think part of that is due to the overall lack of urgency that he has. I think sometimes his supposed lack of effort gets overblown and is a little bit unfair. I think some of it is just his misunderstanding of where he needs to be and when, which is an issue in and of itself. But I think the lack of urgency is the biggest thing there that contributes to the lack of consistency. And then lastly, I guess I'd lump into the consistency thing. I'd lump rebounding in for a guy who's roughly 6'8" and one of the more athletic guys in the league. For him to rebound as few shots as he does is extremely concerning. And actually, that's probably my biggest pet peeve personally of Wiggins' performance thus far in his NBA career is there just isn't an understanding of how to rebound the basketball, or maybe it's a desire or a combination of both, which I think is most likely. And then the last thing would be overall shooting. His free throw shooting has been abysmal over the last two seasons after being okay over his first 3 years in the league. And his three-point shooting, after showing some promise in, I guess it was year three, which was the end of Tom Thibodeau's first year with the Wolves, when Wiggins looked like he was improving greatly from beyond the arc, but then it's just been stagnated the last couple of seasons. So the shooting overall needs to improve. So a few numbers to focus in on that I think are really important to understand Wiggins as an offensive player and some of the issues. One is the average shot attempt distance and the increase that that's seen year over year. So year one in the league as a rookie, Wiggins, the average distance of his shot was 10.7 feet away from the rim. This last season, his fifth year in the league, 13.7 feet away from the rim, average distance. So easy math, increase of 3 feet on average distance over the last five seasons. A huge part of that is that he's shooting a lot more three-pointers, which is great. And that's what everybody clamored for him to do, especially after he showed some promise in year three of improving from beyond the arc. The problem is that he hasn't exactly abandoned the mid-range jumpers, the bad contested shots, the turnaround jumpers. He's shooting less of them, sure. But the bigger issue is that his increase in three-point shots and long twos has actually cannibalized his shots at the rim just as much or more as it did his mid-range jumpers. And that's the bigger concern. It'd be one thing if he was hitting threes at a 40% clip, then you can live with that every day of the week. But when he's shooting threes at, roughly 33%, and actually for his career, 33.2%, that's not okay. He needs to be shooting the ball at the rim more often. And another really good example of this is the extreme lack of dunks that Andrew Wiggins has had. In fact, he's dunked the ball less and less every year in the league. The percentage of his field goal attempts that were dunks as a rookie was 7.7%. So almost 8% of his shot attempts were dunks. That's decreased every single season until this past year, the 2018-19 season. That number was only 3.7%. So not even 4% of Andrew Wiggins' shot attempts were dunks this year. That is half in terms of percentage from his rookie year to his fifth year in the league. We're not talking about age 39 Vince Carter. We're talking about age 23 ultra-athletic Andrew Wiggins in a dynamic offense led by Karl-Anthony Towns. And he's dunking the ball less than 4% of the time. That's really concerning. And along with that, it's not simply a fluke, as it's been declining every year. But the other thing that's really concerning is he's not getting to the foul line anywhere near the rate that he was earlier in his career. I lost my free throw rate here. Just give me a second. There we go. So as a rookie, Andrew Wiggins got to the line. His free throw rate was 0.41. So that means that for every field goal attempt that he shot, Wiggins would get to the line for 0.41 free throws. That free throw rate increased in his second year to 0.437, but then it's decreased over the past 2 years combined. So his most recent two seasons, that free throw rate is just 0.243. That means that Wiggins is shooting the ball from the free throw line far less than he did early in his career. In fact, his career low in free throw attempts per game was 2 years ago at 3.8. In year two in the league, he was shooting 7 free throws per game. To make matters worse, not only was it a career low in free throw attempts 2 seasons ago, but it was a career low in free throw percentage. In case you'd forgotten, 2 seasons ago, Andrew Wiggins shot the ball from the free throw line at 64.3%. This past year was better, 69.9%. But after being a 76% free throw shooter over his first 3 years in the league, Wiggins was awful the last 2 years from the line. And while that's an issue, it's arguably a bigger issue that he's just not getting to the line as frequently. You can fix your free throw shooting, and you're going to get better if you shoot more of them, theoretically. But Wiggins isn't showing the aggression and the want to and the ability to get to the rim over the past couple of seasons. And really, it's been declining every year since his first couple of seasons in the league. So all those things together suggest that Wiggins is just being less aggressive on offense. And you can blame that partly on scheme. Clearly, playing one season with Jimmy Butler, it completely changed Andrew Wiggins' role, and I'm not discounting that. But last year, Butler was on the team for, I think he played in 9 games with the Timberwolves last season. Wiggins had the rest of the year to assert himself. He had a couple small injuries here and there, but there's no reason that Wiggins couldn't have turned it back on like he did pre-Jimmy Butler on the Timberwolves. There's too many red flags there for Andrew Wiggins in terms of getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line, dunking the ball, shooting the ball from in the paint. Those things are not happening like they need to for a guy like Andrew Wiggins with his ability, his first step, his athleticism. And again, part of it is scheme, part of it is head coaching changes, things like that. But the player needs to figure out the most efficient and effective ways to score, and Wiggins has yet to do that. Okay, we're going to take one more quick break, and then we're going to talk about some positive signs, because there were some. There's a few positive signs that Wiggins showed last season that I'm sure that Gerson Rosas is looking at as he tries to figure out how Wiggins could be have a positive impact on his team in the upcoming season. All right, let's talk about the positive signs that Andrew Wiggins showed last season to give fans some hope, and actually to give Gerson Rosas, the Timberwolves president of basketball operations, some hope headed into his first year running the front office. He had some quotes recently. I mentioned the episode of The Jump on ESPN with Royce Young, the Thunder writer, a little bit earlier, and they ran a quote that Rosas gave the local media here recently, basically saying that Wiggins is going to be an important part of any success the Timberwolves have this year, and I'm paraphrasing the quote, but that Wiggins needs consistency in scheme and coaching, and that he thinks that the new offense and the new scheme will benefit Wiggins greatly as much as anyone else. All those things are probably true. Rosas obviously is trying to pump Wiggins up after Wiggins, I'm sure, himself thought he was going to be traded, and it's in Rosas' best interest to talk highly of Wiggins to continue to build his trade value. That said, we could probably figure out what it is that Rosas is looking at from Wiggins last season or so that could be a little bit of a glimmer of hope in terms of what Wiggins could do in the right offense with the right coaching, with the right players around him. So one, and this is actually a career-long positive trend for Andrew Wiggins, he's always been a good three-point shooter from the corner. And granted, everyone knows that the league average from the three-point, from the corners behind the three-point line is higher than anywhere else. It's a closer shot. Everyone knows that. But this surprised me a little bit when I uncovered this, just because it doesn't really feel like Wiggins shoots the ball all that much better from the corners. But if you look at his three-point percentage from the corner for his career, it's 42.6%. And that is very, very good. And last season, it was 47.4%. In a year where he just didn't shoot the ball very well from anywhere, he shot it from the corners at over 47%. That's really a positive sign. Teams are doing better at defending the corner three-pointer. these days than they did a few years ago, but it's still an important shot. And it's certainly one that the Timberwolves are going to pound into the heads of their players that it's an important shot to try and get. When they have an open corner three, they should be shooting it. And yet, for Wiggins' career, only about 16% of his three-point attempts have come from the corners. So Rosas no doubt has seen that. The Timberwolves coaching staff knows that Wiggins shoots the ball very well from the corners, and that's something they're going to try and emphasize with him this year, surely. Another thing that is positive, and actually this is several things, mostly related to defense, but many of Wiggins' rate-based statistics were career highs last season. In his age 23 season, overall it was his worst year because he was so bad offensively. He was outside of a couple of games here and there, he just was inefficient and really struggled. However, Andrew Wiggins had a career best rebounding percentage last season at 7.4%, which isn't good, but certainly, I mean, a career best for him, and that matters. He had a career high assist rate. He had a career high block rate. And he had a second lowest turnover rate in his career, following the previous season when he played alongside Butler and simply didn't handle the ball that much. All those numbers are positive signs, and most of those are close. It's not like he blew his past career rate-based numbers out of the water, but they're all positive signs. They're showing somewhat of growth and understanding for Wiggins, and the rebound rate is probably the most encouraging sign. I think we noticed this on a previous podcast, but his rebounds per game increased significantly after Ryan Saunders took over the head coaching role in early January. It's no secret that Wiggins and Saunders go back quite a few years. Wiggins was at Ryan Saunders' wedding. They clearly, Wiggins had a huge game in Saunders' first game at the helm last January. Those two guys clearly get along well and they root for each other. I think there's something to Saunders convincing Wiggins to have more of a want to, and so much of rebounding is just that. Less of the on defense kind of contest a shot, float in no man's land. Wiggins would not break down the court to try and get a bucket. He would not crash the glass. He would just kind of hang out, and he wouldn't box his man out either. And there'd be, you know, loose balls in the middle of the court, 50-50 balls that Wiggins more often than not would not get to because he was floating in no man's land. Those things seem to happen less often after Saunders took over, and I don't think we can discount that entirely. If Gerson Rosas is looking at Wiggins' increase in rebounding rate, his increase in assist rate, slight increase in block rate, just more overall activity, and his three-point shooting percentage from the corner and saying, hey, if we can get Ryan Saunders to convey this message to Andrew Wiggins that there are a lot of shots that aren't good shots for him to be taking, but he's good at shooting good shots, he's making corner threes, he can score at the rim when he gets there, maybe there's something there for Andrew Wiggins. He's not going to be the team's leading scorer, that's Karl-Anthony Towns, but the Wolves need a wing who can cut, who can score at the rim. That's not Robert Covington's game. Robert Covington's a three-point shooter. He can cut a little bit and score when he needs to as a cutter, but he doesn't really put the ball on the floor. He doesn't really score outside of spot-up shooting in the same way that Wiggins does. Jarrett Culver, a little bit to be determined on what he does, but he's going to handle the ball more than Andrew Wiggins ever should. So Wiggins' role is going to be more of a cutter, more of a spot-up shooter, hopefully in the corners. Hopefully using his athleticism at the rim and getting to the line and improving his free throw percentage. If Rosas can get Ryan Saunders to get Andrew Wiggins to understand those things, then the Wolves could still squeeze some value out of Wiggins. Is it going to be max contract value? Most likely not. But if Wiggins can be a plus player this year and have one of the better years of his career thus far, and really wouldn't take much to be better than his last two seasons, then the Wolves could be a playoff team and Wiggins could rebuild some trade value and the Wolves could trade him next summer as they look to free cap space for a big free agent class and provide some hope that this team is becoming something around Karl-Anthony Towns. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Rosas hang on to Wiggins for the full season, especially if Wiggins shows some promise early on in the season, because there are some slight glimmers of hope. And me personally, I've been extremely critical of Wiggins from day one. I think he was overrated as a prospect, and I think that many times he's been overrated as a volume scorer in the NBA, as volume scorers tend to be overrated. But there, it's not all bad. There's still some signs of hope, and hopefully with a new front office and a revamped coaching staff, the Timberwolves can do a better job of conveying to Andrew Wiggins what he needs to be doing to keep improving his game and, you know, contributing positively to the Timberwolves. All right. That's all we have for today. This week, I've been teasing this for a little while, but confirmed it. We are going to break down over-unders from across the league this week. We'll have a guest for our next few shows breaking down each and every team in the league. And then we'll do some prediction shows, league awards, playoff teams, conference previews, and things of that nature. Once again, thank you for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back with over-unders and league preview as a whole later this week. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.